Guys, welcome back. Our guest tonight is a former pro boxer and bodyguard, current author, whose memoir, Small Town Boxer, can be purchased through Amazon or BoxerMike.com. Mike Suski is on the program. Mike, how are you tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Oh, Mike, I'm doing pretty good, man. You have a book out. It recounts your life up until this point. Do you kind of feel now that you've written your life story that nothing can happen to you now because it won't be in the book?
Yeah. Well, a lot of stuff happens to me all the time. I just got in a street fight with my neighbor and broke his jaw. I mean, just countless stuff like that.
Like your next door neighbor?
Yeah, I'm always busy. Let's just say that.
What was the disagreement over, Mike? What did you guys...
Do you remember a little bit ago how they said there's a flying saucer going over Phoenix? Going over all west?
Mike, you didn't get in a fight with your next-door neighbor over flying saucers, did you?
No, but he was in the road filming it.
Oh.
And I went by him, and he didn't get out of the road. And you know, I went around him. I was being cool, right?
Right.
I went by him, and he started talking smack to me. So I got out of my car. We had some words, and he paid for it, I guess you could say.
Well, it seems like the book has a pretty common theme of you gotten a lot of fights in your day, Mike.
I still do. I'm 47. I'm 47. I'm still knocking guys out at 47.
But what is it about fighting that is so appealing to you? What is it that is...
I just, you know what? If you're going to get in my face and talk smack, you know, a lot of guys think they can do that.
Is it because you're a big guy and like you're people know that you're a boxer. You were Donald Trump's bodyguard in the early 90s. And I guess people know that about you. Is that like, do they size you up when they see you and they say, oh yeah, I could kick that guy's ass. And
well, you know, back in the day. Yeah. But you know, like this neighbor really didn't know me. He's around the corner from where I live.
Well, he knows you now, huh?
He called the police, and the first thing the police did when they come to my house, they had helicopters going over the house looking for me. They finally figured out where I lived, and then the first thing the police asked me if I was a boxer. I must have busted them up a little bit.
So it's the challenge of it. I've never been in a fight, Mike. I've never been in a fight. Travis has only been in one fight, and it was because the guy called him a popcorn bitch.
The guy was, like I said, he was in the road. I went by him. I went around him. Some bitch wouldn't move out of the road. I'm like, okay, whatever. You know, he's filming the thing. And, you know, I was going to leave it at that. But then he started running his mouth. And apparently he thought I come too close to him, you know, and he wasn't moving. So what the hell, you know?
So
I went around him.
As I said before, you were a former boxer. You were Donald Trump's bodyguard for a period of time. The thing that that was in your bio that I don't think gets a lot of play is what's this patent with the? Do you have like a urinal splash guard patent?
Yeah, it was urinalsplashguard.com. Look it up. Urinal splash guard. It's the best urinal screen ever made. I made a urinal screen with filters. That cross-section filters, and the rods are made like knives, so it kind of cuts the urine. So, and you can piss like a racehorse in it, and there's no splashback whatsoever.
So it keeps it off of your pants, or does it have the little cake in it to make it not smell?
It disperses the urine, you know, right through the filter. And then usually the filter lines up with the drain, so it just filters the urine right down into the drain.
Is it a good enough filter?
You can bring it up. You got a computer. Look it up. UrinalSplashGuy.com.
Is it a good enough filter where you're able to drink the urine when done?
No. It's a different.
Like in water world.
Like a filter that disperses the urine from splashing on you. Not a filter of germs.
No. Okay, so it's not a filtration system. It's just a filter.
No. It's like I said. It's rod set up like a filter, I guess you could say. And all the water you drink was urine at some point anyway. So
that's true.
I guess you could drink it.
Is this
dinosaur piss?
if a guy was suffering from the old kidney stones and he wanted to collect them and save them for the future to be like, hey, I passed this thing, would that filter catch these stones?
If their stones are big enough, sure.
All right.
When you're boxing and you got the big gloves on, do you have a guy with you that that'll scratch your nose for you? Like if you have an itch on your nose?
No, you just rub it with your gloves. Usually you got Vaseline on your nose when you box, so I don't. With Vaseline on your nose, it don't itch.
Yeah, that's the problem. I feel like it is what if you have an itch on your nose?
Well, you know what? When you're in the ring fighting, you got them gloves on, that's the last thing you're going to think about is your nose.
So the book is very detailed. It goes through like your entire chronology. And I was thinking about like my life and like if I were to write my memoir, I don't feel like I could remember all the things that did you journal growing up or something? Or how? Because I mean, you also mentioned that, you know, due to all of the punches to the head you had some like brain damage over the years. And I'm wondering, like, how you have such an incredible memory to remember all these things that happened to you.
That's all I had. That's all after I retired, I had nothing, man. I was flat on my back. You know, I got KO'd or stopped my last fight. And I got TKO'd. And that's all I had was memories, man. So that's all I thought about. I'd rehash how I could, you know, the opponents I lost, I could beat. You know, I was just good or better than them. I just fought dumb fights. And
you fought dumb fights at what? You like you weren't ready for, or
no? I just different. I you know like the first guy I lost to that pretty much ended my career. My first loss. I mean, I had some wins after that, but I was never felt the same. You know, whatever the magic I had was gone. I didn't go at him. He's a real tall guy. I should have went right at him, and instead I stayed on the outside. You know, I was a good boxer. I could flip punches and counter punch. But this dude, you know, he's pretty good, so I needed to get up on him and stay on his chest. Now, had I done that, I would have beat him easily, but I kept on the outside, and he was a big puncher, man. He almost had all knockouts. He had all knockouts, but one fight, you know, he had a decision in one fight. So, he's a big puncher, and he's real rangy, so you gotta go in on them guys and stay on their chest. And I sit on the outside like a dummy, so. Yeah, and I paid for it.
And I saw in the book you mentioned that you were boxing while you had your job. Now your job working for Trump was when he came down to Florida to party. So like you worked in
Mar-a-Lago,
Florida,
yeah.
And you just hung out at Mar-a-Lago when he would.
No, he would come down. He'd come down for months at a time. You know, in the wintertime.
Oh sure.
But Yeah, for the most part, you just come down on the weekends.
And, so you were like seasonal help.
Day weekend. No, I was there 24/7. But when he was there, I was his personal bodyguard. And then when he wasn't, I was pulling 12-hour security shifts.
And during all that, you were still boxing, and they read out your credits when you'd come out, and they'd say this. Next boxer is also Trump's bodyguard, and that was like your gimmick. Like
I fought main events, and Trump would buy ringside tickets to my fights down there, and he's a big boxing fan, and we always talk boxing, and so yeah, everything was good. I mean, I had the life down there, man. I didn't want to leave. I had the life, dude. You couldn't imagine the life I had down there. It was insane. I was getting a little scared toward the end. I was hanging out with some real crazy people, and we're doing really bad things. And I was always worried about getting popped and getting locked up, you know. So that weighed on me quite a bit. And that's one of the main reasons why I got – South Florida was crazy back in the late 80s, early 90s. That shit was nuts.
Were you down there when OJ moved to Florida after his whole spiel?
No, I was way before that.
Long gone, huh? Yeah. Right.
OJ moved to Florida?
Yeah, that's where he made that horrible rap video when he was trying to escape California because everybody was like coming after him after he didn't kill his wife and shit. He moved to Florida, Travis. And then he went to Vegas and got arrested.
OJ made a rap video?
Oh, you gotta look it up. You gotta watch that OJ, there's like an ESPN, like 4-5 part thing. And after everything went down, OJ moved to Florida and was starting to hang with a bunch of gangsters and shit and was dressing like Flava Flav a little bit. And he made a rap video. And I want to say he sampled, like, there was like a reoccurring theme about I got away with it or some shit like that. It was just, it's ridiculous. Wow. You gotta look it up.
I didn't watch the thing last night, but I DVR'd it so I could watch it later. The OJ thing. Apparently,
OJ thing last night.
He says the word hypothetically a lot in it, Travis.
Oh yeah, I saw snippets of that with him saying it. Yeah, yeah. That's funny. Hey, if I would have done it, right? Yeah, no.
I went out to LA right after that happened, dude. And it was sketchy, man. You could feel it. I mean, you could feel the tension, man. Race relations were awful.
Now, I can't remember, what was the timeline? Was that pre or post Rodney King, the OJ thing? That was pre Rodney King, post, right?
No, it was post.
It was a post Rodney King. That's why
Rodney King. Yeah, Rodney King was sketchy as hell too. Yeah.
So, Mike, are you wealthy off these splash guards? Is a splash guard a big seller for you?
No. I had a $2,700 order. It's probably the biggest one I had. I didn't have the capital to back up all the marketing for it.
You gotta get on Shark Tank.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I just got sick of the this bar, man, me and my crew used to go to downtown Flushing. It was called Kathy's. It was just like a little restaurant, and they had a bar in the back. We'd hang out there. And one night, man, no matter how you piss in this urinal, it splashed back on you, man. So I come down, right? The bathroom was up a huge flight of stairs. This is crazy, man, because we used to get like drunk in that bar. And there's a massive flight of stairs up to the bathroom. And I'm thinking that's like a lawsuit waiting to happen. Anyways, so I come down. I was like, that fucking urinal, man. Every time I piss in that urinal, it splashes back on me. Every guy in my crew said, you know shit. He goes, we all piss in the toilet, man. They had a stall right next to it. Every one of them said, yeah, man, we piss in the toilet. And then my little light went off. My old man was an inventor. He invented a bunch of shit. He had a bunch of patents. So it was just a natural, thought for me to say, hey, man. Then my next thought was like, some dumbass is going to figure out how to eliminate the splashback and, make some money.
So do you think I need to get in some fights, like for some life experience? Do you think it'll give me perspective?
I don't know. It depends on, you might get your ass kicked. So you might not want to.
See, but do you feel like if you get your ass kicked, that's still perspective, though, right? You learn from your losses, don't you?
Yeah, you learn more from your losses for sure. But you're not going to be a fighter, man. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Some people just aren't.
You want to go through your life and never being in a fight. I got locked up once. I got locked up, had a bunch of charges. And I was kind of glad I got locked up. I thought it was like a pretty cool experience, man.
Mike, and, you got locked up only one time for beating the shit out of all these guys?
No.
Mike, you beat up your neighbor like yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I never, no, like I said, all the cops even asked, they asked me, are you a boxer? Because that dude was really messed up. And I'm like, yeah, I box a little bit. They're reading me the right. The way it went down, the guy kept following me back to my car. He had some words, and I was going back to my car. And I was like, man, I told the guys, I'm going to knock him out. If you don't get out of my face, you didn't get out of my face. I knocked him out. He was threatening me. And then he kept following me to my car. And the kid was honest. I guess he told him the same story.
They probably gave you the benefit of the doubt because he was talking about space aliens and shit.
Well, no. Everybody was freaking out, man. It wasn't the cops were too. That shit was crazy out here.
It looked
like a flying saucer.
And you probably really did teach the guy a lesson too, because in this day and age, he's lucky that you weren't like a gun-toting weirdo who was gonna pull a gun instead of beating the shit out of him.
You can carry a gun out here, conceal it if you want. There's no laws, man.
Well, that's how you got your Trump job. Is they took away the Trump guy's guns
Yeah, he's in bankruptcy. He was in bankruptcy, and on the chopping blocks were armed guards in Palm Beach.
And so he got rid of the armed guards and just got some tough guys.
Yeah. You know, the threat in Palm Beach was, you know, Trump's a big dude anyways, man. Trump towered over me.
So in a way, you're kind of like Andy Griffith. He never carried a gun. You know, he just demanded respect.
We carried stun guns and tasers and that, but no, not a gun. I didn't.
It's not much like Andy Griffith.
He took some dudes, some models come in, right? We sent a Greyhound bus to Miami, and all the models would get on it. And whoever the models vouched for get on that bus. It was crazy, man. You wouldn't believe. We're talking about Miami models, so they're eccentric as hell. And then, like, their best friends. And,
so the guys, you know, would go pick out all the attractive gals. And then whoever the attractive gals also wanted to bring, they just wanted to get the attractive gals,
yeah,
and they let other people come, too.
It was insane. Like I said, the modeling agency would tell the models, hey, get on the bus, you can bring whoever you want. So a lot of times they'd bring their parents or their boyfriends. And so these two models, they both were models, big-time models. And Trump, I guess, took the guy's girl right in front of him. And the kid was, you know, it's late at night, and they're going out back to the bus. You know, out back to back gate to get back on the bus, go back down to Miami. We're up in Palm Beach. And the old boy figured out his girl wasn't coming. You know, she's staying the night. And that, you know, poor, I kind of felt bad for the kid, but the kid was running his mouth right off the bat, too. The kid was rubbing me wrong right off the gate.
Well, yeah, it's his girlfriend.
But he was running his mouth before that.
Oh, Mike, I think I'm on that guy's side so far.
So the kid figured out his girl's name, and he come up on Trump, and he's cussing Trump out. And then Trump goes, "Oh, wait a minute." He goes, "This is my friend here." He goes, "This is national champion boxer and national champion weightlifter," which I never said that. I never told Trump I was a national. You know, you can tell I lift the weights, but I never said
boxing wasn't
that.
Good enough.
Yeah. Well, Trump's adding on, right? So Trump's talking me up. And then he goes, "Anything else you have to say, you say it to him." And so I looked at the kid. He's a big, big stud. You know, he's a big time model. I said, "Get your ass on that bus, boy." And he turned around and got on the bus.
Oh.
That's the closest I ever come to having to beat somebody up for Trump.
All because he stole your girl.
Yeah, right in front of you, man. If he wasn't such a prick, I'd probably feel bad for the kid. But kid was being a dick, man. He's running his mouth.
And that gal, she gave up something special for one fleeting evening with fame.
Dude, that gal,
Mike,
was so beautiful.
And one evening with Trump, and she gave up a perfectly good relationship. It's a shame.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, she's probably better off.
Fame is a fickle mistress.
You're talking about Florida. Nobody gives a shit about anything.
Coke.
Yeah.
Cigarettes and coke. That's all they did.
So you're out there in Mesa, Arizona. You're doing the personal trainer thing now.
Yeah, I own a gym. I own a little studio gym.
Yeah, I have
people up all day.
Book out. It's called Small Town Boxer. Get it from BoxerMike.com or Amazon. Mike, we appreciate you hanging out with us.
I think really quick before we let you go, the most important question to close this out is that guy, that neighbor, the guy you popped him in the jaw. Did you fuck up his UFO video, Mike? You think he was able to salvage the video?
He stopped filming before I hit him, so who knows?
That's probably good. That's probably a really good thing.
Yeah,
Mike, thanks for hanging out with us, buddy. Take care.
All right, be cool, guys. Thanks,
Mike.
Travis, I like Mike.
I like Mike too.
He was okay.
Yeah, I like Mike. He likes to punch people in the face. What are you gonna do,
Travis? I don't understand his lifestyle, Travis. I don't understand it, but
it works for him.
Works for him. You know what I mean? And you know, now, like, see, I can tell people that like I'm pals with a former top 10 boxer and Trump's former bodyguard, so that way nobody will fuck with me.
That's right. Hey, I'll call my buddy Mike. If you got anything to say to me, you can say it to him.
It's all about the connections you make, you know what I mean?